Good day. This is an audio update from LGK Wealth Management. This will be our first in a series of regular updates and education pieces to accompany our regular meetings, phone conversations, and paper or paperless communications. These audio casts or podcasts can be listened to anywhere you have a computer or mobile device. They're perfect at the computer, while you're exercising, or during your commute. In this first ever LGK Wealth Management podcast, we'd like to walk you through a process that we think is really important and felt it was worth a refresher, and that's how to read your statement. Let's walk through this together. Starting on the first page, you'll find the date, your advisor name, and contact information, which is us, of course. Then you'll find a listing of all your accounts that the current statement covers and their values. You'll find two columns. The first one is the value of your accounts the last time we sent you a statement or quarterly update. The second column, to the right, represents the most recent statement value at the end of this quarter. If we turn to the next page, you will find the first of your accounts with us. Key to this page is the section entitled Change in the Value of Your Account. You will note that it tells you the value of your account at the beginning of the last statement period. From there it says, plus additional money you've deposited. So this is the money you've put in, less any money you've withdrawn. So this is the money you've taken out, less any deductions for fees or taxes. So these are the fees we've taken for management of your account or sent to the CRA on your behalf. And finally, plus the change in the value of your investments. The change in the value of your investments is the change related to the growth or decline, as the case may be, as it relates to current market circumstances. At the end, you're left with the current value of your portfolio. Turning the page, we come to a section that says, investments you hold in this account. And it is exactly that. Let's look at each of the individual columns one by one. Some of these are more self-explanatory than others, but we'll go through them all regardless. The first column is category and investment. The category will be broken out into things like cash and cash equivalents, or mutual funds and deposit notes. The categories are then populated with the specific investments that you own. For example, if you own the Manulife Money Fund, you'll find it under cash and cash equivalents. If you have the Manulife Growth and Opportunities Fund, you'll find it under mutual funds and deposit notes. The second, third, and fourth column all work closely together. Column 2, which says quantity, are all of the units of a particular fund that you own. Those units can be bought by you directly with the money you contribute into your portfolio, or they can be bought as a result of income that your fund is paying you. Many funds provide you with income. A money market fund, for example, owns investments inside it that are always receiving interest. The mutual fund company then pays that amount of money out to you in the form of a distribution or dividend. You can either choose to receive that distribution or dividend in the form of cash, or you can automatically set up the fund to purchase more of the fund. This is called a reinvested dividend, and you'll see them accounted for in the next section. The third column is your average cost. If you always pay $10 a unit for your fund, then your average cost is always going to be $10. However, most funds don't operate that way. They go up and down with the market. Let's use an example. Let's say you bought 500 shares of the Manulife Global Equity Fund for $20 6 months ago, and then 500 shares of the same fund last week for $22. Then your average cost would be $21. Column number 4, book cost, is probably the most misunderstood column on the statement, and understandably so. It represents a combination of all the money you've put into a fund in addition to all of the distributions or dividend reinvestments you've made, less any money you've taken out. Going back to our previous example, let's try to tie together all three: quantity, average cost, and book value. If you bought 500 shares of Manulife Global Equity 6 months ago for $20, and 500 shares of Manulife Global Equity last week for $22, you would have a quantity column that said 1,000 shares, an average cost column that said $21, and a book cost column that said $21,000. Now let's say you got a dividend during this period of $500, and you reinvested that money back into the fund at the original $20 unit price. That would allow you to buy 25 shares. So at the end of 6 months, you would have 500 shares that you bought for $20, 25 more that you bought for $20 because of reinvesting your dividend, and 500 shares that you bought for $22 last week. You will therefore have 1,025 shares valued at a $21,500 book value, which gives you an average cost of $20.98 per unit. You may have to listen to that back a couple of times, but don't be discouraged. Understanding book value is the most commonly misunderstood component of a mutual fund. Column 5 represents the market price that the fund can be bought at on the day of the statement. And the market value, which is column 6, is what your fund is currently worth if you were to sell it at the day of the statement. If you take the quantity of the funds that you hold in column 2 and multiply it by the market price in column 5, you will reach the market value in column 6. A common area of confusion is the difference between market value and book value. When looking at book value, it is easy to forget that it also includes fund distributions and reinvestments on top of the money that you contributed, and it is important when considering the success of the investment. The next section to review on the statement is entitled, Your Investment Transactions in This Account. This area tells you what happened to each individual fund for the month in terms of transactions. In this section, you'll see the following columns across the top: trade date, activity, amount in dollars, the market price in dollars, and the quantity affected. Let's use the Manulife Money Market Fund as our example, or if you don't have that fund, look at the first fund listed. You'll see the first activity date. Beside it will be the activity. It will say opening balance. And then all the way at the other end, you'll have a listing of the quantity owned at the time. From there, you will see various transactions on various dates. The most common ones you'll see are reinvested dividends, purchases, sales, withdrawals, management fees, and then a closing balance at the end. Each of the activities will involve buying or selling an amount in dollars of the fund at the market price on the trade date. The quantity bought can be calculated by dividing the amount by the market price. The closing balance is obtained by adding and subtracting all the activities from the opening balance. This is repeated for all additional accounts that you have with LGK Wealth Management. If upon listening to this, you find that you still have questions, we urge you to call us at 780-426-2400 or email us at administration@lgkwealth.ca. We want you to feel really comfortable when reading your statement.